Podtacular E3 2012 special for June 14th, 2012. Hello guys, welcome to Podtacular, a very special episode this time. We are going to talk about E3 2012. I am Duststorm.
Your co-host, Daftlink.
We have two guests from the community on today. We have Private Church.
Hi.
Hello.
He's Hobbs.
No.
And we have ODST EGY.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Both of you guys have been on the show before, right?
I have not.
Really?
A long time ago. I think episode 174.
I know, Edgy, you've been on.
I think with when you guys did all those live streams right before ODST came out. I tried to get on there, but
to no avail.
Yeah.
Yeah, Egan's still waiting for his guest host rank that was never bestowed upon him way back when.
Anyways, welcome to the show, guys. I guess, yep. Well, I just looked. Church, you have not been on the show, so you are correct. So tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got involved with the Podtacular community, how you found out about it, and why you still decided to stick around.
I found out about you guys through Bungie.net. They wrote an article about you guys, and then I decided to check it out one night, and I started listening to all the podcasts and getting caught up, and I really liked the co-hosts, you and G. Lewis and Brent Gamer for a short period of time, and then I think there was somebody else. I can't quite remember. But it was a good podcast all around, and I got involved with the forums and the Rec Clan and stuff. Started doing Monday Night Matchmaking, which I hear you guys are still doing, but
yeah, I gotta get in on that.
We are. Oh,
we revitalized it.
Nice.
Yeah, or I take that back. Daft and Karts revitalized it.
Yeah.
We have a pretty decent turnout every week. Yeah, definitely. You two come do it this next Monday, and the listeners, all of you too, come do it.
I would love to if my disc tray was broken.
Yeah, I gotta find a network adapter, but I get that sort of
that. Wait, why do you need a network adapter?
Because I don't know where mine is. Like, I stored my Xbox away in a box for a couple weeks, and I just lost it, apparently.
Why do you need a network adapter for an Xbox? Xbox has Ethernet ports on them.
Well, this is news to me.
I'm confused. Why do you need... You don't need a network adapter for an Xbox.
I need a thingy that plugs in through a red cable that makes connects it to the magic tubes.
So you need an Ethernet cable.
No, I have the red wire. I just need the thing that connects to the red wire that plugs into the wall.
You mean the Ethernet cable that came in the box with your Xbox?
What? Yeah, what?
The thing that plugs me up to the magical tubes that is the internet, you know?
That's yes, it's called an Ethernet cable.
Yeah, when he plays games he wants.
I just don't have the thing the cable connects into. That's my issue.
When he plays games he also wants
into your Xbox.
No.
When he plays his games, he also wants.
Either I am very confused or
I don't have a red wire on my Xbox.
When Egan plays his games, he wants tubes hooked into his brain, pumping nutrients in so that he never has to get up.
Like those Hulu commercials where all the actors walk around and then like feast off you.
Exactly.
She insides.
Huh. So Daft Link, what's your story though?
I'm still confused, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It is. Feels good to be co-hosting or guest hosting.
Guest hosting, yes. So, we are talking about E3 this week, and this isn't a normal show. This is a special. So it's
an after school special.
After school
extracurricular.
Pop quiz.
Hey, we also have Bravo on. He was actually at E3, so he can give us a grounds detail about it. So, hello, Bravo.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up,
Bravo?
What's up? Hey. Hey, speaking of which, being at E3, do they have, like, lots of, like, free snacks and stuff at the booths for you to eat?
Free snacks?
He's thinking about
everyone's no, because I was watching those, like, a couple years ago when did anyone see those videos on, like, John CJG E3, like, the creator of Arby and the Chief, just walking around E3 being all sarcastic about everything? Yeah, they had, like, tons of all these, like, free snack samples all over the place, like, gamer grub and these, like, little, like, fruit drinks and stuff.
Wow, no, I missed out on the snacks. That sucks.
Oh, wow.
I did accidentally walk into the Far Cry 3 VIP party, like, totally by accident. I had a nice free lunch, if that counts.
Nice.
I think that just counts as free food.
I was on the floor, and the security guard goes, "Are you two together?" And we're like, yeah, we're together. And we had no idea when we realized that everyone was just eating and drinking around us, so we had a nice lunch. So I want to thank Ubisoft for that lunch.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. That's how you play it smooth, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice.
So we've all talked about Halo 4 for the most part, but since we have three guys on the show who haven't really been on the show yet to talk about it, I'm going to ask you guys what you thought of the Halo 4 the campaign demo and all the info that came out real quick. So, Church, why don't we start with you? What did you think of all the nice Halo 4 goodies?
You mean the little thing before the surprise Usher concert there?
That's all I was saying.
Yes, that thing.
Yeah. I really liked the intro video thing, the live action thing. I thought that was really neat and how they interwove it into actual gameplay. I'm kind of iffy about how they're introducing new creatures or a different species into the enemies list. I'm kind of hesitant about that. I haven't read the books or anything, so I'm not really caught up with that, the Prometheans or whatever they want to be called. And I like the animations for the light guns. Those are cool. I like how they like expand like almost an exploded view, and then they're
like Transformers.
The Transformer guns.
I want Michael Bay to come in and produce the sounds for those guns. Every time you use it, it's like, that'd be sweet.
No, let's leave Transformers out of it.
Yeah.
Michael Bay has already done enough damage.
No, we can keep Transformers in it because the Transformers Fall of Cybertron, the next game. There was a new trailer at E3, I believe.
Was there?
This is a Halo show.
Yeah. Which, by the way, the first one, Transformers War for Cybertron, which came out in the summer of 2010, was fantastic. Like, it was the first actually really good Transformers game.
It's fantastic. It was passable. But
okay, it got, like, 8s and 8.5s and, like, maybe a few 9s. You know?
Then it was good.
Okay, it was fantastic for a Transformers game. For a game in general, it was, like, it was good.
I'm kind of hesitant about it.
Yeah. Before the War for Cybertron, the best Transformers game was that one on the PlayStation 2. Like, it was just called Transformers. It was pretty decent. You'd drive around like jungles and stuff. Dusty will have lots of silence to edit out.
It's okay. I use Audacity. It makes things a lot easier.
Nice. All
right. So, Edgy, how about you? What do you think?
You know, like Church said, I don't know about the whole the weapons. They seem different. They don't seem like, you know, classical Halo in a lot of ways. But, you know, like, I haven't got my hands on them, so I don't really know how they feel. From the people who have gotten their hands on them, though, they say that they do feel pretty Halo, which I think is a good sign. I'm confused that, you know, you hear Cortana, she's like, those things, they're not organic, they're AI constructs, but that thing had a skull, it had like a human skull. I don't, for some reason that stuck out to me, I don't know why, but
yeah.
I think the multiplayer looks kind of like Reach almost, just like the way it was. I don't know where they are with graphics right now, but it reminded me of Reach a lot, and I think in some ways it's good, because I don't know if they're, you know, messing too much with the traditional Halo formula, because, you know, we've heard a lot about perks and stuff like that, but no, I trust that they won't screw the pooch, so.
Well, that's one of the things that a lot of people have been doing is making the Call of Duty comparison, which I think at this point we have to realize that a lot of the top AAA titles are going to share different features.
Yeah.
So Call of Duty just has a lot of good ideas, and other games are going to start incorporating it, and that we're just going to have to deal with it.
Hey, who cares? Just enjoy the game. Jeez.
Well, I'm sure there's some people that care a lot about it. So, Bravo, what do you think?
Like the more...
You got to ask me about something specific.
All right. I played for like two and a half hours.
Let's see. Campaign demo was pretty awesome. Yeah, it showcased, I think it did well to showcase the Prometheans. I think it'll be an interesting race to fight. I haven't played all that much campaign, with the exception of playing the Halo 1 campaign like 10 times. but I have played, you know, I have played at least a little bit of all the other Halo campaigns. So I think the Prometheans will be an interesting race to fight against, and a very annoying race to fight against on Legendary, especially with the Watchers and the Crawlers. And then aside from that, we got to see the railgun, I believe, in the campaign reveal, right?
I didn't remember
Was it just a light rifle?
It was the light rifle and the scatter shot.
Okay, yeah, it was just a light rifle.
Didn't Flay Eli bring up some, like, sniper or something you saw? But didn't he say there were, like, three he saw last episode?
Yeah, well, the light rifle is a Forerunner sniper thing, right?
Isn't it more of a battle rifle, or like a carbine?
Yeah.
I guess, well, it's one-shot zoom and then three-shot unzoomed, right?
I feel like we got a lot of precision weapons between the Promethean weapons, the Covenant weapons, and the human weapons. I mean, we got, like, you know, we got a ton of the DMRs, BRs, we've got the carbine, you know, we've got a lot of precision weapons, which I'm not
opposed to. Glad they brought the carbine back.
Oh, definitely. That was fun.
Definitely a bigger, I think, acceptance over the needle rifle.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people missed the carbine. I'm glad they brought it back.
Needle rifle's all right. Frankly, ideally, I'd want them to have both the carbine and the needle rifle. Like, let's just, you know, give us both. There's fan bases for both weapons.
Though the Halo formula has always been, like, if you listen on the old Bungie podcasts, I don't know what 343 philosophy is, but, like, you don't want to have one weapon that does the same thing as the other weapon. You know what I mean? Like, they want each weapon to fulfill a specific role. They don't want, like,
the needle rifle has the combustion effect. It's not really
a deal breaker, I think, as far as weapon effectiveness goes, you know.
So what about the competitive stuff, Bravo, since I know you're more of a competitive player?
Yeah, I've been trying to analyze each aspect. I actually have a new video coming out, not tomorrow, but the next day, talking with some more pros as my kind of final wrap-up video. But
so tell us about kind of like how it feels compared to like Halo 3.
Yeah, so the feel, first of all, is very overall, the best word I can think of is, at first it feels clunky. It's a little bit weird. Aiming is very different from all the other Halos. I shouldn't say all the other Halos. It's different from Reach, and different from Halo 1. So it lies somewhere within Halo 3 and in between. But a lot of people compare the aiming and how the battle rifle hits to Halo 3. The battle rifle has very little aim, magnetism, and acceleration. It takes skill. You can easily outshoot people with the battle rifle, which is nice. I didn't really get my hand on the DMR. Sprint, for some reason, feels like it works, and it feels good at default, which I'm happy to see. Rockets are very, very different, the trajectory of those, but they seem to work well, and they move at a speed that is slightly slower than a Halo 1 rocket, which is still very fast. And on top of all that, the carbine, it shoots very fast, as you guys have started to say, and a lot of pros were leaning towards the carbine, which is cool to see that there's any of that, you know, primary weapon balance. Storm rifle is useless unless you're right in someone's face, in which case, you know, you can easily destroy someone. Almost like a pre-patch Halo 2 needler. Speaking of the needler, which is only an ordnance drop, I mean, that thing kills so fast. It's not a starting weapon. I could not believe how fast I died to that thing. I mean, maybe like four needles and you would just explode.
Yeah, hey, they've really been making that weapon more and more powerful.
I want the
every iteration.
I want the Halo 1 needler to come back because it was such a creepy needle. Like, the needles moved at, like, 1 mile an hour. Yeah. And they, like, slowly...
Yeah.
Ah, chasing me.
They had, like, the craziest homing speed. Like they homed, like, across corners. It was awesome.
Was it the Halo 2 or the Halo 3 needler that was... If you could get all your shots connected to the guy, that you blew up really quick?
I think it was Halo 2.
Yeah.
Halo 2 needler?
Yeah, I think it was Halo 2.
Yeah.
Especially pre-patch when you had dual Halo 2 needlers. I mean, if you shot someone, they would die in a second.
Halo 3 had a pretty killer needler, I thought.
Yeah, Halo 3's needler was, it was better,
Halo 3 needler was fast.
Yeah, it was.
Although it seemed a little bit harder to track, but if you're able to get all the needles onto the guy, you can blow someone up pretty quickly with the needler in Halo 3.
Halo Reach needler, I thought they made it more like a traditional assault rifle, where, like, even if you, say, didn't get enough needles in the guy to initiate the combine combustion or whatever, it still depleted most of their shield, if not all of it.
Are they bringing back the SMG this time around or not?
I think it's confirmed no.
I think that was just, like, a one-off thing for Halo.
Everyone got sick of it in Halo 2.
I think it was just
useless. It's assault rifle.
So. It is.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun in Halo 3 ODST, like how they kind of updated it. Like
with
that,
the silencer and the scope, yeah, that was cool.
That was awesome. Yeah. Had some
rain. It was pretty sweet. Otherwise, that thing sucked.
Yeah.
Other than that, I guess the sniper is clunky, a little bit harder to use, but once you get the feel of it, it's easy to sweep, snipe, and quick scope. It feels pretty good. Every time I picked it up, it was like full of ammo, especially compared to Reach's matchmaking sniper, but that was kind of cool. The initial weapon drops worked out really well. Everyone kind of sprinting, and there's waypoint indicators as to everyone sprinting to those opening weapons, so that's a little bit different. And 343 actually said to me they don't know if they're going to have those on static spawn, like every game on longbow sniper spawns here, or if, like, it might be changing. Even an Infinity Slayer might have different weapon drops. You know, it wouldn't be random per se, it would be a different cycle, but I'll be interested to see how they finalize that.
All right. Okay, so let's get to some stuff other than Halo 4. Starting off with the Xbox press conference, a lot of the things that came out, a lot of us already know about. One thing, I don't think this was announced anywhere else before, but the new Gears game? Anyone interested in that?
Judgment? Yeah, it sounds really, really, really good.
I just read the Game Informer, cover story in that,
Yeah, it sounds really good stuff. They're changing up the controls a little bit. Like how, like in the past Gears games, you know, you selected weapons like with your D-pad, that like plus shape thing would come up with, like, you know, like weapons on the sides, then the pistol and like grenade and all that. They're scrapping that. So now you'll just press Y to switch between your primary and secondary, like it's a, you know, regular shooter. Yeah, and then you hold Y to pull out your pistol. And then grenade is like a left bumper. I'm assuming you probably just hold left bumper and there's like that arc pops up and then like you let it go to throw it, as opposed to like, you know, selecting the grenade on the D-pad thing as if it's like, you know, its own weapon you constantly hold or something.
Interesting.
And there's going to be classes for multiplayer too. Soldier, scout, medic, engineer.
Sounds like they're trying to speed up the game a little bit.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. They're even trimming the fat with the cutscenes, like the cinematics, the narrative. It's still going to be like a very compelling story there, but just like the cinematics / cutscenes won't be like overly long. They really want it to be like really fast paced through the whole way and very just action packed, both in the gameplay and in like multiplayer gameplay and in the flow of the single player. Sounds really exciting.
That's good.
Yeah.
I've never been much a Gears fan because I played through Gears 1 and I struggled through that game a lot.
Yeah, no, Gears 1 was very.
Gears 1 is a tough one.
Yeah, Gears 1 was very. Gears 2 was significantly better. And then Gears 3 was really amazing. Like, they really nailed it with Gears 3. Like, Epic finally got their act together. And, like, if only the whole trilogy could have been like that, you know, I always say. And there was finally some color. It started in Gears 2, a little bit more color. But then Gears 3, you're going to, like, these deserts with all this, like, you know, flora, interesting flora everywhere. And then there's, like, tropical islands. Like, there's a lot of color in Gears 3.
It's interesting because the color of the... I mean, the game aesthetically looked a lot better as the series went on, but competitively, like, Gears 1 was the only one that had any longevity and was, like, a solid title, whereas, like, Gears 2 and Gears 3, on a competitive level, like, almost unplayable, but it's just interesting to see how the series continued.
So do we even dare mention Call of Duty? I mean, I know there's Black Ops 2, but was basically...
Before we move on, could I just... I just wanted to mention the Gears of War Judgment plot for anyone that didn't know, really quick. So just it takes place like 15 years before Gears of War 1, which would be like 17 and a half before Gears 3. The main character is Lieutenant Baird, who was like one of like the side characters in the previous Gears games. Sarcastic guy. And they chose to make him the lead character of Judgment because they felt that they iterated on like the whole Gears trilogy was Marcus's story. They talked about Dom's story mostly in Gears 2, and like they talked about Cole's story in like Gears 3 enough. They hadn't really iterated on Baird's backstory. So that's basically what Judgment is his whole story, like what shaped him to be the soldier he is in later games. And he's like the leader of this Kilo squad. Cole is also like a younger Cole. And then these two new characters, it takes place in Halvo Bay, which is like a big military town where they have like the Onyx Guard Academy, which is like the top tier COG soldiers. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
And Baird's on trial for using some like untested, you know, crazy weaponry and like breaking protocol and all this stuff. Cause like, back then the COG, the whole government still put, like pretty tight and strict and has all these like protocols, how to fight. It's like, the Game Informer cover story kind of equated it to like the US military having a total like World War II mindset and going into Vietnam with that mindset and then realizing like it just didn't work against these like new crazy enemies and they had to adopt a new way to fight. Same thing like with the COGs and then the Locusts, like after coming out of the Pendulum Wars, which were just against other humans. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to COD. What were you going to say, Bravo?
About Call of Duty?
Yeah.
I didn't actually... The only way I saw the Call of Duty reveal was through like the Machinima when they re-uploaded it or streamed it or whatever, the campaign thing. I didn't pay much attention to it. I don't think any of the Call of Duty guys really paid much attention to it either. Obviously, they're all going to be playing it, but I don't even know I'm going to get it, because apparently in the competitive community, Black Ops was a huge hit, and it played very well, and obviously Black Ops was kind of what gave the trilogy a huge bit of traction on YouTube, mm-hmm. but I hated Call of Duty Black Ops. I didn't buy it. It was the first Call of Duty game I didn't buy, Call of Duty 3 was the first game I didn't buy. That was pretty bad, but... I don't know. I'm not excited about it. I don't think I'm going to be buying it because I'm going to be playing Halo 4 for about 26 hours per day. So that's about it for me. That's about it for me on COD.
Seriously.
I'm wondering how you're going to pull off the 26 hours a day.
Well, yeah, it's going to require a special algorithm that I have a guy working on.
He's going to be like the time turner thing from Harry Potter, right?
Oh,
the,
that's
the
right. Necklace.
Yeah. I'm also hanging out with Emma Watson.
But you have to add an additional time for eating and going to the bathroom and all that stuff too, right? So you're actually
he'll have programmed in.
He'll have two in your brain.
He'll attach everything.
Pumping nutrients in.
Yeah, I'll have an IV.
All right, that's one way to go, I suppose.
For most of the Twitter feeds and the different comments I was reading about the Black Ops 2 stuff, I heard it kind of fell flat. Like, it really wasn't that impressive or anything like that. Like,
It was impressive for a COD game, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It was like, it's like they're trying to emulate Battlefield 3, I feel. But it looked interesting for a COD game, right, for that series at this point. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the things we'll have in the campaign, like those choices, both the small ones, like within missions, and then the bigger ones that, like, there's multiple endings and stuff. It was interesting for a COD game, that kind of a new route, and I think they know that they need to do new things, or like at least different things at this point.
Yeah, I don't mind Treyarch as a developer. I think they're better than
by a long shot. Black Ops was actually impressive.
They at least tried to implement a good story in there. It's something
it was a pretty good story. Yeah,
I felt this in Black Ops 2. Like, when they showed it off, it was just kind of, like, stuck there at the end last minute. Because it was just, like, 20 minutes of gameplay that people...
Here's the staple COD we have to show off every year.
Yeah.
Right.
I was watching it live.
Well, I mean, when you have to follow a big hit like Halo, and especially with how well they presented it, I mean, everything else after that looks like crap.
Well, no, that was the whole plan. That was the whole plan, though. Show off Halo 4 first is this big, opening, explosion of excitement. And then have a bunch of crap in the middle.
Usher in there.
Yeah, Usher, like, it's utter garbage. And then, so by the time COD comes out, we had to deal with this Usher crap and whatever else. Like, COD looked fantastic after that, all that nonsense we just went through, so.
Am I the only one who didn't mind Usher going up there? I was like, hey.
I thought his, like...
I could care less.
I like how he's doing the choreography for that game, because...
Yeah.
My name is Usher, and I'm gay. Basically what he's singing up there.
It's not like Dance Dance Revolution anymore. It's like a new kind of game where you listen to, like, actual songs and, like, dance along with it. It's pretty neat how he's, like...
Personally, I still think that it's, you know, it's gonna fall, because I think most rhythm games are doomed to fail, but, you know... They've been certainly pushing it pretty well.
They're for parties and casuals.
Yeah, I think like those kind of games, as long as they're general and they're not based off of one individual person. Like, I'm kind of still a little surprised that the Tony Hawk series is still kind of going. Because in my opinion, if you have a game that's focused on one person, there's really no point. One person in real life, I mean...
Well, Tony Hawk, it does. You can get to play different characters. Like, I remember in Pro Skater 2, you could be, like, Bam Margera and stuff like that, and, like...
I really didn't like how they turned the Tony Hawk games into, like, Jackass for, like, video games, like, when they did the Underground series. I enjoyed those games, but it wasn't like Tony Hawk. It was...
Couldn't you be Spider-Man on a BMX bike in, like, Underground or something like that? Or is it an
artist? I don't know.
You could be Spider-Man on a BMX bike in one of those. In one Tony Hawk game, it was really outrageous. I remember just watching it. I was like, "What is this?"
You could be Jesse James on a Segway.
okay.
You could be. I mean, you could play Bam Margera, but he's been in there since like.
Yeah.
Ever. I'm trying to remember. I used to play those games all the time. But...
Well, yeah, they're rebooting it and they're doing the original. It actually looks pretty good. Like they're really trying to stay faithful to the series, and I don't know, some original Pro Skater stuff is pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good skateboard gamer. All
right, so let's get moving. What do you guys think about Smart Glass?
Who cares?
Who cares?
No, I'm here to watch games, not bunch of freaking apps. I'd rather like I'm at an Apple convention or something.
I'd rather have seen a new console release.
Well, it's funny because it seems like that kind of capability was showcased at the Xbox briefing, the Sony briefing, and the Nintendo briefing.
Yeah, like some of
they
the
all
games
have some kind of capability that interfaces with other devices. Because PS3 now has crossplay, which you can do with the PS Vita, your PSP, your PlayStation 3. And you have that cross kind of platform integration. And now with the Xbox, you have your mobile devices and your Xbox now. And then Nintendo, you have the Wii U with the game pads. That seems to kind of be the new direction that a lot of things are going in.
Is there a cross-party chat?
No, it's not the direction everything is going in. It's just a bunch of casual nonsense.
Can we explain like what Smart Glass is real quick? Like...
So Smart Glass is supposed to be this way of integrating stuff that's happening on one platform and having an immersive experience displayed on all these other platforms. So, and ignore the sirens in the background. I don't know what's going on. But one of the examples they gave was when you're watching an HBO show, and they specifically had the example of Game of Thrones. When you're watching the TV show through the HBO app, you can actually have... I'm guessing this is through the companion software that they have, but you can actually have a map come up on your tablet or your phone so you know where the scene that's taking place is in relative to the world. So that was one example that they give, and then another one was the new Halo Waypoint using Smart Glass integration. So it's basically an expansion of the Xbox Companion, I think.
There was something like that. I've seen some games do stuff like that. I remember Dead Island had like a iPad app you could download. Where you could get.
Atlas was almost like the precursor to that on the Xbox platform.
Yeah, it's a cool idea, but you know.
Want to chime in on anything Xbox press conference related?
A lot of Kinect.
Yeah, who cares?
Casual gamers.
Hey,
I mean, yeah, they gotta make money somehow, you know what I mean? So I usually don't get on too much.
Hardcore gamers keep the game industry afloat.
Yeah, but I mean,
at least they have men for all time, as far as I'm concerned.
You need some change too. Yeah. I mean, like, and you can get a lot of money from.
Yeah, how's that hope and change working out for you, huh?
Oh my god!
Wow. But, okay, moving on.
The Microsoft hope and
change.
Moving on. The Microsoft version, not. Kinect brings no hope. Kinect brings no change. I hate Kinect.
So,
oh my god.
Let me go ahead and bring this up because I don't know how much everyone watches this one. But who watched the Nintendo press conference?
I did not.
I skimmed through like online like summaries of that nonsense.
I heard they did talk more about games than any of the other three. So, or any of the other two. So
they did have the. Pushing. They had a fairly decent game section. I want to say maybe half of their conference was about games on the platform.
Wow.
I heard the guy came out and said, well, we're going to show you what E3 is really about, the games.
Who, Reggie Fils-Aimé?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
He's like, we're going to show you 23 games in an hour and a half. And everyone's like, yeah.
What are these, like casual games, like Angry Birds or something?
They started, they started off with Pikmin.
Yeah,
Pikmin 3, which, you know, it's kind of an odd series, but it's quirky.
I like
you know, it's kind of fun, you know.
The only stuff I've played on Nintendo has been Mario stuff or Pokemon.
Yeah.
So,
Zelda's the best. You're not playing your Zelda, you're missing out.
I have an emulator.
I still just play Ocarina of
Time. You know, just daft Link's input.
All right. Well, they have a new Super Mario Brothers Wii U.
Oh, of course they do.
Oh, yeah.
They do every year. It's a rehash.
And then for the 3DS, they have a Super Mario Brothers 2.
Oh, of course they do.
Let's see. They have the new Miiverse, which is supposed to be kind of their social integration.
Nah, who's going to use it? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they do need it.
I mean, look at how successful the Wii codes were.
The friend codes.
codes. Gosh, that's such a horrible system.
Well, the thing is, like, Nintendo would never actually like admit that it was basically just to protect like kiddies from pedophiles. They kept like changing up their reasoning, like every time, like every year, the media asked them about it. It just got like weird and just like pathetic, almost. You know.
Like, yeah, something that's human readable is usually more generally accepted by the community.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
All right, that wraps up Nintendo then. to pick out of that.
Well, I mean, Wii U, it got like the tablet, the Fisher, right? You gonna quote you the Fisher Price tablet? The Fisher Price tablet got like a little bit of a redesign from the original prototype version, which is great. And then they got like this. They showed off this Wii U quote Pro controller, which basically looks exactly like an Xbox 360 controller, in my opinion.
Yeah, I saw that.
Just to play like the quote hardcore games. So,
at least they recognized there was hardcore gamers.
Yeah, but okay, here's I'm glad that you reminded me of this. Here's my little rant about like.
It'll make playing Brawl a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, they already had that classic controller with the grip you could buy. Now, here's my little rant about hardcore third party series on the Wii U. See, everyone's like, maybe not everyone, but at least Nintendo's like, oh yeah, we're gonna have things for you hardcore gamers on the Wii U. We're gonna finally like you know be part of the rest of like of the gaming world because we're gonna have like Assassin's Creed and like you know all these like zombie games and Mass Effect and like you know whatever all Ubisoft games. We're gonna have all these like hardcore third party series on the Wii U. But my response to that is like, who is going to buy a Wii U and then buy like Far Cry or Assassin's Creed or whatever for the Wii U, when instead they can just buy the Xbox 720 or the PS4 and just
the next
and just buy those series, those Ubisoft games or the hardcore games, whatever, for those for either Xbox or PlayStation, like they've already been doing for years on the 360 and the PS3, like they're accustomed to, like everybody's used to playing those games on Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network. So like there's gonna be no transition to the Wii U for these hardcore series. Everyone's just going to stay on the Xbox or the PlayStation like they always have been.
The key to the Wii U being competitive is it needs to catch up with online gaming. You know, like, you know what I mean? It really needs to catch up.
They got a Nintendo Network they're going to come up with or whatever, I heard.
Well, they need to come up with it quick because that's a deal breaker right there. Because, I mean, the reason I get on Xbox is so I can talk with my friends. so I can, you know, like discuss with people. I'll sometimes just leave it on in the background, just talk with friends. I mean, that's really important. They really need to integrate something like that. You know, I've made like, I've made friends like you guys, like over Xbox. So I mean, I don't think they realize how important that is.
Yeah. Or even like socially, I don't think anyone's going to make a transition to the Wii U. All those kids that have been, you know, talking and being friends on the Xbox 360 will just all move over to Xbox 720.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's definitely some social features lacking on the Nintendo platform that Sony and Xbox have. But before we move on, Brava has to leave.
Yep. Hey, I didn't want to interrupt, but thank you guys for having me for the brief time that I was on. I'd definitely love to come on again. I think BS Angel tweeted today that RTX will have a similar Halo 4 setup to E3. So...
Only if I could go, I would so love to go.
But I'm in Texas too, and I can't go before, during, or after that. But yeah, thank you guys for having me.
All right.
Yeah.
Have a good evening.
All right. Take care. See you guys.
See you, man.
So Nintendo, I don't know. It seems that they have some nice, innovative thought going behind some of the stuff that they're doing, because if you think about it, they were kind of the first ones that came up with the whole. Kind of motion controlling stuff.
Oh yeah, thanks Nintendo. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Well,
real accomplishment right there. Thanks.
Well, okay. Give them some credit. Give them some credit, because it was an interesting idea, and then Xbox and PS3 just came by and made it a lot better. In my opinion, PS3 has the best motion control.
If you're
to do precision moves. The way the move does it, with actually having something, with the what's the controller called for the move?
The wand with the ball wand. On it.
Well, it does not have vibrator. A name. I'm sure it has a name of some kind, right?
The vibrator.
It's called the Wii Remote that's just been like, you know, upgraded by Sony. I mean, it's really all it is. It's just
a
better Wii Remote.
That system, I think, is a little more. Suited for the fine precision stuff. So if you were to do a shooter type thing,
the gun shape thing for Resistance or whatever they made. I remember Killzone or something. That gun frame. Three. Yeah, you put the wand thing in it. Yeah, shooter. Yeah.
Yeah, that had a name too. I don't remember what it was. But the Xbox Kinect has pretty much the audience for. Like, whenever you're doing full body stuff for a lot, so the dance stuff is probably a good example for where Kinect is strongest at. And then for the Wii,
fitness games too.
The Wii Sports, I think that's the strong point for the nunchucks.
Yeah.
So.
Even though for like Kinect, you gotta have a living room that's like a mile long of empty space, you know, for it to work properly.
For the most part.
I totally know what you mean.
But
bashing motion control is fun.
And so they showcased the Wii U last E3, right? That was when they first premiered it.
Yes.
And Xbox and PS3 really didn't have anything comparable at the time, or they weren't announcing anything. And then we see this E3, they're coming out with platforms that are very similar to what the Wii U is doing. They have... So Xbox has smart glass, and PS3 has cross-play. So I mean, Nintendo has these innovative ideas. I just don't think they necessarily execute them correctly.
Yeah, I know.
Nice effort, nice try.
That's my opinion. Well, it's like
I like that,
it's like you come up with a good idea, and a beer conglomerate comes by and just kind of takes it away from you. It's like, oh, that's cool, grab, snag.
But Nintendo and Sony have always been known for better hardware, better software than Nintendo every generation at this point. So.
Wait, Nintendo.
Yeah, but look at how far
Nintendo and Sony have been known for better hardware than Nintendo.
I mean, Microsoft and Sony have been known for better hardware/software than Nintendo.
I mean, like, look at the Xbox. Like, it's come leaps and bounds, but it's still, for me, it's still the same white box underneath my TV. It's just everything else is different.
It needs Blu-ray.
It doesn't need Blu-ray.
Yeah, have you guys heard these crazy rumors about the next Xbox? How it may, like people are saying it's not going to have a disc drive or something like that. Like, I've heard some pretty nutty stuff.
I don't want it to be digital distribution. That would be horrible.
I want a physical copy.
Wait, here's the two reasons why digital distribution is a horrible idea. Number one, say, you know, the massive hacking network goes down. Oh, look, all our games are gone. No physical copies. We're screwed. Second of all, it hurts physical industries. Okay, you make the plastic boxes that stimulate the plastic industry. Yeah, the paper. No, I'm serious though. Like it really does. At the end of the day, like little by little.
And think about companies like GameStop who thrive off of used
exactly,
games.
Exactly, it would hurt them too. Yeah.
I mean, they're gone. You do that, and that industry is dead.
Oh yeah, the physical really is.
One day we're all going to be talking around like old men. Like, remember when we went down to that there game store, that GameStop? Like, we're going to get, like, that's crazy. That may be a thing of the past.
GameStop, that EB Games, and that.
Yeah. Before the physical world became dead because everyone just sitting in their house with tubes hooked into their brains in like simulators, and the entire, like, shopping world is like in the internet slashing everyone's minds now. Yeah. Right.
Daft, yeah. Daft, how has your protection of the GameStop been doing good in Russia though? You know, what game were you? There's some game where like the motive is to protect GameStop from being invaded by Russians.
Right. Ghost Recon Future Soldier. So this is hilarious. So, yeah. Okay, glad you brought this up. So, recent game by Ubisoft came out May 22nd. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier. It's a pretty good game. If you pre-ordered it at GameStop, you got a couple things. You got like some extra guns, some extra like skins and stuff, but you also got this map to play in the game's guerrilla mode, which is like basically just firefight. And so it's like a map. It's in like Russia. It's like in some like, I don't know, some shopping complex or something with like some like train tracks in the middle or going down the street or something. But at the one point it's like, on one side of it, there's a GameStop. you just got a giant GameStop sign. It's like a, you know, shopping. I think it's like a giant GameStop too. Like it's a pretty big building with a big GameStop sign on it. And then on the other side of the map, there's a big billboard up high. It says GameStop on it, but like in like Russian language. And then below that it says like power to the players, which could possibly be taken as like Marxist subliminal messaging, right? Power to people. But, and so it's funny because basically like the, so how it works is like, it's like firefight, these waves of, you know, bad guys come and, you got to stop them. There's this like objective thing that if one of them reaches the objective and like hacks into it or something, then you lose. So you've got to stop them from like reaching, you got to kill them, stop them from reaching this objective. And the objective, the like hacking thing is right in front of this big GameStop building. So my friend, shout out to Mikey, shout out to Noel Fan. My friend and I were playing on this, and we realized we're essentially defending a GameStop from these terrorists or these soldiers, whatever these people are. I got us thinking, like, what is this, like, corporate warfare? So we're defending GameStop. Who's attacking GameStop? Would it be like the remnants of EB Games after the buy off, like defectors of EB Games or something?
Russian EB pirates. Game loyalists.
Yeah, we're Russian pirates.
the Gabe Newell interview.
Yeah. We're not really, we're here at Valve, we're not really worried about piracy. Piracy is one of the least things we worry about.
I like in that interview where he goes, you see, Russians pirate everything. And I'm like, nice.
All Russians are pirates. Yeah.
No one knows what we're talking about right now. There's like a...
Probably not.
There's like an interview with...
Yeah. With Gabe Newell, the head of Valve, claims that all Russians are pirates. They all pirate games illegally.
Gabe Newell did an interview about piracy, and he just... it's very well quoted and stuff like that. He talks about how it's a service problem, not a quality problem or stuff like that.
I think if Valve offer a quality enough service that people would rather actually like buy from Valve legitimately because Valve has such a good service. You know, they're not going to pirate Valve stuff, which is quite not true from what I've heard.
Valve stuff on Steam?
You can download
just like on the pirate
Steam.
Yeah, just on the Pirate Bay and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but it's not through Steam. No,
they're just trying to say that because they have Steam and they provide such good services, Valve doesn't need to worry about piracy because they're a very good service. That's the point he's trying to make. But.
Okay, I got confused on some of the wording there. All right.
Yeah.
No, Steam has been one of the more successful content management platforms
Definitely.
I don't know. I hear that EA Origin's giving it a real run for its money.
Whatever.
There's so much DRM on Origin.
App. The thing I instantly removed when I was done playing the Battlefield 3 Alpha.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So the Sony press conference. Anything? I mean, I'm personally not a huge Sony fan, so anything that
I haven't known the Sony products since the PS3.
They talked for like I have a PS3, about but their Wonder Book.
I have a PS3, but I never play it.
Oh yeah, the Wonder Book.
God, that sounds so dumb.
Yeah, it does.
It's like the Home. It's like the PSN Home.
Eventually, they're going to have to back out of this console race because they're going to go bankrupt with these stupid ideas like Wonder Book.
Dude, the PS Home. Did you guys ever? Okay, Daff, did you ever create a PS Home character?
I did. He looked nothing like difficult. Me.
You had to chart the contours of the dimples on your face and stuff like that. It was so complicated. It was the most difficult. Yeah. And it was infuriating because with all those options, they gave you like five different shirts to choose from, and they were all like, you know, do you want a black short sleeve shirt or a white tank top or like a gray long sleeve short? I'm like, dude, I just took like an hour to design my face, and this is what you're giving me. Like,
and you like go outside, and all it is like there's like a plaza, and then like you can go in like one building that's like a shopping mall or something. And you run around and everybody's just like, everyone's basically just like up to each other, going up to each other, being like, hey, you want to go in like video chat, baby? Like, let's just.
And then there's that one mini game that you could do where it's like catching falling angels or something on pillows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the one cool thing I thought about it was like, well, I mean, like, maybe not cool, but like, I got like a little neat, I guess, was like out in the plaza, there'd be this big, like, giant screen and they'd play like Sony games trailers and stuff on it, like so like you're watching this TV like within this game within this TV. It's interesting.
Now I will say one of the first things that they showed off, which was Beyond, which was made by the creators of Heavy
Beyond
Rain.
Two Souls.
Yeah.
Quantic Dream. Yeah.
That looked like the graphics. Well, the graphics looked pretty good, but the mocap.
With Ellen Page.
Oh, yeah.
What?
No, with Ellen Page, the actress.
Yeah, Ellen Page.
She's the one.
I was going to talk about the sheriff, but yes, I guess. Well, I mean, because she barely moves.
Oh, yeah. Well.
In that first scene, I was looking at the cop and how well they got his expressions down. And I thought the mocap in that was wonderful, and it looked very realistic.
Mm-hmm. Heavy Rain did a pretty good job.
Heavy
Rain was fantastic.
I've never personally played it, but I watched someone play through it at a LAN party for like 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was messed up, too.
Yeah, good stuff.
Spoiler alert, the investigator did it.
Yeah, I never saw it coming.
And then everyone that was there in attendance got a free year of PSN Plus.
No. Oh, yeah.
That pisses me off. Because a lot of the people that are in there are, like, media people.
Yeah.
People exactly. That would like, get free so, stuff like, anyways.
Yeah, like a bunch of Wolf Blitzer stooges, basically.
So, it's like, what's the incentive?
A bunch of John Kings.
What's the incentive to me if you're going to give free stuff to people that you normally give free stuff to anyways?
Yeah, right? You guys are going to get a first look that we were going to give you anyways. Here you go. Have fun.
It's stupid, in my opinion. It is
stupid.
It's trying to it's trying to make people feel like that they care when they really don't.
Yeah. I remember PS3 fans always going, we're better because we have free online. I'm like, you guys will get paid online, you know, within a couple months. And, you know, it finally happened. And I'm like, yeah.
Well, online's still free.
Well, yeah, not all. They have online passes now. Like with Uncharted 3 multiplayer, if you want to play, you got to put in like the online pass.
Well, yeah, that comes in the box. That's not based on a requirement by the PlayStation Network. That's just based on studio.
I think PS3 is really showing that it is kind of a free network. Because I mean, it kind of sucks. Like,
yeah, it gets hacked.
Well, come on. Yeah.
Remember when? Well, it's not even when it got hacked. I like the stuff they had, like they had all the passwords and all of people's credit card information in a text file. It wasn't even hashed. It had no security.
No, it wasn't in a text file. It was in a database, but it was stored in clear text, is what you meant.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. It's like there was no real like.
Do they even security. Have like cross game chat, like party mode or parties you can
they don't.
Yeah, they have no party chat in the it's horrible. It's awful.
Yeah,
I hate the mics too. Like you gotta set up that Bluetooth mic. Like it's just so like obnoxious. Oh, yeah. Horrible. PSN sucks. Awful.
It sucks because any snob can go out and buy like a $5 Bluetooth mic and it's such horrible quality. And you can't hear anything.
Awful.
It's like, you go into Call of Duty games, all you hear is like.
That's why Xbox is better.
Xbox has it down, although the ads on the dashboard still do annoy the heck out of me.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm paying gold. I should not be getting advertisements on my dashboard.
But it's where they get all their revenue. Come on.
They already get all the revenue from me paying for gold $60 every year.
Yeah, we need
it's
more.
It's not premium. $50 anymore. It's $60.
Gold needs
yeah,
more.
Yeah, why don't they? I'm surprised they didn't grandfather clause people into that. Like, if you've been paying $50 a year for so long, you can still pay $50. But
it's not contract.
No, you'll pay it either way.
It's not contract. Like a cell phone provider, you're paying on a yearly basis, and if rates go up. Where when you sign a contract like that, both sides are locked in.
Yeah, gold members really do need more exclusive things.
What about that Xbox Live Diamond that I heard coming out?
I've heard like TV services too, right?
I have no idea.
Is
that
still
that
a
is.
Thing?
I haven't heard of that before.
It was leaked a while ago that they were.
Oh, and then there's Xbox Music, which is like the third iteration of Microsoft Music
Zune?
Services. First they had MSN Music, and then they had Zune, and now we have Xbox Music.
Mm.
It's like, make up your freaking mind, Microsoft.
Yeah, nobody does like Zune. Like, no.
Does Zune? No.
Yeah, but you know what I find a little like weird and like kind of comical is like a couple weeks ago when Diablo 3 came out and that was really big, I saw like a Diablo 3 ad on the dashboard. Why are they advertising a PC game on an Xbox 360?
Well, no, remember a couple months ago they were advertising Halo 3?
They were?
Yeah. Like, really,
I don't even.
2 or 3 months ago.
But that's at least on the console. Like, why are they advertising a Diablo, a PC game, on an Xbox? It doesn't make any sense. Like, buy this game from Blizzard that we don't make any money off of and go play it on, like, not even our system.
I see what you mean.
Wait. Yeah, it's just weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Trying to steal customers.
Blizzard, Microsoft had some kind of deal or something.
Weird. Very weird.
Yeah, wait. Can't wait to see a Mr. Pandaria advertisement on the dashboard when that comes out.
I don't even pay attention to those because it's in the bottom right of the front page of the dashboard, right? And then you just like, because it mutes the sound, so I really don't even pay attention. Like, if something catches my eye, then I'll look at it.
Yeah, does anyone else think that the new dashboard setup is like stupid?
Yes.
Kind of.
I still kind of miss the Blade system, to be honest.
Well,
no, I don't.
The nice thing about like the previous version.
It was
version.
Simple. It didn't have all this extra crap on it.
Yes.
It was simple and functional.
Maybe if they added a few more blades for like parties and other things, but.
Well, the thing about the previous version we got like before this newest one, where it was like it was just like you know, because now it's like you flip through the stuff horizontally, but remember you like flip through it like vertically with those big squares and stuff, and like you'd go like to the right, like the all back down.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, the first NXE.
Yeah, exactly that one. The nice thing about that one was that it was like on the level that was like my stuff. You know, it was like there was the game you put in your disc, and then there was like your other stuff. Now in this new version, it's like. One of the like the pages is like your game, and then
well,
like it's surrounded by ads, and then you have to flip through it like to another page for like your social stuff. It's just obnoxious.
I think that they were trying to standardize Windows Phone 7.
No,
and
they're
Xbox
standardizing
and
all UIs. The Xbox, Windows,
yeah, exactly.
Windows 8, Windows 7 Phone, Well, now it's going to be Windows 8. And I hate that they're doing that for the PC. They're making the Metro thing the default, which really pisses me off. Windows 8 is going to be another Windows Vista.
Yeah.
It really is.
Because I was testing out the beta on like another computer I had just to screw around on it. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't really. I like that they're
accepting. For crying out loud, they have the desktop as an app. A desktop is not an app.
I like Windows 7.
It's a central hub for everything you do on the computer.
I think Windows 7 still has some life, and I think it's a pretty solid operating system.
Windows 7 is gold right now.
Yeah.
Windows XP was solid, and Windows 7 was their recovery from Windows Vista once they realized that they were being stupid.
I think Windows XP, it was functional, it worked well, but I think it looked ugly as crap. But you know, I didn't like the design. It really did look like Fisher Price almost. But you know, I think that's why I really do think Windows 7 got down. You know,
In our family, we jumped from Windows 3.1 to Windows 98 to Windows XP, nice. And now Windows 7.
Nice.
Windows 95.
You bypassed Windows ME.
That's a smart decision. Yeah.
I don't think I ever had a computer that ran XP. It went from like 95, and I think we bought a Mac.
XP was all right.
XP was fine.
Yeah.
And what about Windows 2000?
Windows Vista was all right if you had the power to run it. But you had to have the power to run it.
I always thought Vista was kind of ugly looking for some reason.
Yeah.
Supposed to be like all new age.
The Windows 8 desktop, and now we're being a PC show. The Windows 8 desktop looks like Windows 7. I don't know what additional features are in Windows 8 that's not already in Windows 7 yet, other than the stupid Metro UI.
Yeah. PC show, where's Lancelot?
Exactly.
Him and his crowbar.
He never replied back on being on the anniversary show.
Aww.
I thought he would jump on that opportunity right away. Hey, anyways.
I've heard people begging for ATR to come back and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah,
he says he's been busy. I mean, I've seen in the forums.
Everyone's busy. Yeah, everyone's busy.
Hey, I'm busy. Look, I'm still here. Look, I've been putting videos out like crazy. I'm about to post one tonight, actually.
I've been watching your videos.
Jesse, you want me to help you out with that?
I don't know what you can help me out with, to be honest, because doing the audio dub is the easy part. That takes like 10 minutes. It's the actual video editing, which just takes a long time.
Okay.
What program do you use?
How much you want?
Premiere.
Premiere?
Premiere CS4. I guess I can be a little more specific. One last thing I want to address, and you guys I'll give you a chance to address anything else, but Assassin's Creed.
Oh,
my gosh, that looks amazing.
It's like Red Dead Redemption now, right?
I've never played Red Dead, so...
Oh, what is wrong with you, Dusty? Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
You should go play Red Dead Redemption. It's a great game.
It's a great game.
Before you got playing,
I love Western play,
including Assassin's Creed, which is a great game.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed does look really good.
I like that they're tackling the American Revolution because not a lot of gaming companies do that. I mean, I don't think it's ever really been done.
Right,
I mean,
up Daft's alley.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right.
yeah, damn those British. Yeah, redcoats.
what if we have to fight for the redcoats at some point? We have to
all the trailers have been us killing redcoats, so
yeah, but yeah, they,
but they've, his they've heritage is British.
Yeah.
He has British
half British, half Native American.
And they've already said that you're gonna have to fight both sides, so they've basically already confirmed that you're gonna be fighting Americans and you're fighting Redcoats.
No, they confirm that you're fighting for the assassins, not for the Americans. They've been very adamant about that.
Yeah, and they said specifically you're gonna have to fight both sides.
I'm gonna quit at the part that I have to fight the Americans. I'm just gonna be like,
disgusted.
Isn't he best friends with like George Washington or something?
Pretty much, they have like a special relationship totally throughout the game.
Yeah.
I mean, right up my alley. I mean, killing British, cool. But if it was maybe say killing socialists or Marxists or liberals,
I meant it more from like a historical standpoint.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
You know, it's actually on that note, I'm disappointed that Bioshock Infinite got pushed back to February because hear me out on this. Like, Bioshock Infinite was supposed to come out on October 16th. Assassin's Creed 3 was supposed to come out on the October 30th. both BioShock Infinite and Assassin's Creed 3 have like very like retro American like political tones to them. So it would have been so perfect leading up to the election.
Oh, the election. Wow, it that's been right.
Absolutely perfect. Because like BioShock Infinite, it, like the city of Columbia, like there's those two factions. There's the founders who are like the creators, like the they manage Columbia, the leadership. They're basically like very far right, like radical Republican extremists. And then you have the Vox Populi, which is Latin for voice of the people, the rebellion basically in the people. They're basically like, you know, minorities rights, like very kind of liberal, like socialist types. And so, I mean, that's very political, that whole thing, of course. And then that combined with, of course, Assassin's Creed, like it just would have been so perfect leading up to the election. These two very like political, like retro American games, like, and then they're probably both going to have like, commentaries and, you know, from the developers and stuff like that, like a certain message overall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been perfect leading up to the election now, but now all we have is Assassin's Creed 3 before the election. Was it like a week before the election? And then the election's on Halo 4's release day, which is cool. So.
That is cool, man.
I mean, Medal of Honor Warfighter is on October 23rd. It's a war game. Not like super political.
I like how in-depth Daft is going into about it though, about like how this affects the election and stuff like that, like video games.
It's an interesting kind of coincidence though, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Does anyone else have anything else to talk about before we wrap this up?
Can we talk about Watch Dogs real quick?
Yeah, Watch Dogs. Yeah. Watch Dogs.
All right. Watch Dogs. Go.
Daft, do you want to say something?
No, you go ahead.
This wins like game of the show for me because it looks really cool, like how you get to interact with everything and everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
how, like in the demo, how he caused the car crash just by screwing around with like the lights. Like, there's a whole lot of opportunities to do. And even though it's in like Chicago and it's like really like, I don't know. Condensed.
Oh, now I remember that. Oh, that's right. That was epic. I was like, Watch Dogs. What
is that? Posted something on the
forums. That's right. That looked awesome.
Oh, I'm definitely.
It's like
that.
It's like everything I wanted to do in SimCity, but it didn't allow me. Like, you know, it's like, you know, creating a tornado and a firestorm wasn't enough for me. I wanted to screw with people on an individual basis, and now they're finally giving me the option to ruin individual lives, not just lives.
It almost takes Grand Theft Auto to another level.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
But I've never played GTA.
GTA 5, 2013, woo!
Never played GTA.
I need to release some more info for that. GTA 5.
I know, 5. Seriously. I was so hoping that Rockstar would, like I was saying, like, announce a release date and, like, release a new trailer, or, like, right before E3, just top stage E3. That would have been cool.
Oh, yeah.
All right, any last remarks?
The Last of Us for PS3 looks cool. Uncharted, like, but I Am Legend, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, when I first saw that, I thought it was Uncharted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a, zombie apocalypse, but they're not like gory zombies. Like, it's like I Am Legend, like they're just like feral humans, like crazy humans, pretty much.
Right.
And,
isn't that what it is in like, in what is that, Resident Evil? I mean, I know Resident Evil fans.
No, they have gory zombies, like, right?
No, those aren't zombies, though. There's something else, like protozoa are inside of them. It's something weird, like, it's not zombies, though.
Okay. Alright, but even those Resident Evil zombies, don't they still look like traditional zombies? Like, they just look
weird. They look like...
Yeah, I mean, like, in Last of Us, like, the zombies, quote-unquote, like, they still look like normal people. Like, they're not, like, you know, they don't look all, like, screwed up, but they're like, crazy. They, like, attack you, bite you, and...
The new Lara Croft looks a lot like Uncharted. When Uncharted was like modeled after Lara Croft, it's really weird how it's like.
Yeah, the Tomb Raider reboot looks interesting.
Yeah, but if you watch that with your eyes closed, that probably sounded like something else because there's a whole lot of moaning and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, cause she fell down a waterfall into a plane and then I don't know. It looks really ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
It seems like they considering the whole, like, Lara Croft, like, the legacy of the series and stuff, seems like for this, the reboot, they really kind of, like, downsized, like, her assets. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Okay, okay. That's we're no longer.
Shout out to that creepy thread on the forums, right? With
yeah,
we're discussing like the female Spartans in Halo 4. Like, what should their like proportions be like?
Okay. Apparently, no, there was a new Halo commercial that was out.
Really?
What?
Twitter's going like crazy on a new Halo commercial.
Oh, that's cool. Just look it up.
Oh, cool. Halo has seemed like they're kind of taking a route to like live action stuff, you know, like with the commercials and that newest kind of like almost like cutscene, but live action. I don't know how I feel about that. It's odd. It has like a Battlestar Galactica feel to it, and it doesn't really feel like Halo when they make it live action. I think the only one that really did feel like Halo was Landfall, where the ODSTs were going up and everything. That was sweet as hell. Like, but
I thought the Deliver Hope trailer was cool with
them. Yeah, it was pretty good.
There's no noble team throwing the bomb in the ship. You know,
there was a lot of CG in that though, so I would hardly call that live action. That was straight up like CG the shit out of that, like
film the entire thing in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
So I think we are done for the most part.
Is there anything else? Far Cry 3 looks awesome. Oh yeah, the campaign, co-op campaign. They're gonna have a single player campaign and then multiplayer, of course. But then they're also gonna have like a 4-player co-op campaign with a whole different story and characters and everything. That looks awesome. So I think Far Cry 3 is gonna be a good bang for your buck.
Okay.
And then help me out here, guys. I'm forgetting games.
Splinter Cell.
Oh yeah, Blacklist. Yeah, that looks cool.
Oh, that looks so good. Yeah. So many good games I want to play.
Yeah, Dishonored. Dishonored coming out October 9th looks like it's kind of similar to BioShock, but it's like in this like steampunk like neo Victorian city, like in like this, you know, it's like a different like, you know, universe. And
yeah,
there's like he plays this like a guy named like Corvo, who's like an assassin. He was like once like. Because, like, the whole, it's, like, the island, the city of Dunwall, it's, like, on this island, and they use, like, whale oil. It's very steampunk. They use, like, whale oil for their, like, energy source. It's like, a very kind of, like British-esque, like 18th century, like, British-esque kind of, like, empire that rules the whole thing. And there was this, like, royal like, empress lady, but she was, like, killed. And the whole thing was framed on Corvo, who was, like, once her, like, guard. And so then he becomes, like, this assassin guy, like, breaks out of jail and, like, gets revenge and stuff. Go look it up, everyone. Gameplay trailers they got up. It's like a mix between Assassin's Creed and BioShock. Like BioShock, if it kind of has like a similar art style, and then like there's like supernatural abilities, but then there's also like knives and sneaking around off rooftops and stuff like Assassin's Creed. Go on, Ian.
Speaking of Assassin's Creed, the new Splinter Cell looks very Assassin's Creed-esque.
Well, I heard G. Lewis actually called just Ghost Recon with Sam Fisher in it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about, Duststorm. Everybody's talking about the Halo 4 trailer, but I don't see anything about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. Is there some big game going on tonight? Basketball or something?
NBA Finals.
Yeah, NBA Finals.
Oh. OKC and Miami.
I think I may have found
that could be it, I guess. Anyways, wait,
one more thing. One minute.
I've already given you one thing plenty of times.
Okay, this is my last thing.
You have 30 seconds starting now.
Okay, so Halo 4 was on the Jimmy Fallon show, like, I think it was last night or the other night. It's basically that same like level from the E3 in the jungle, and Jimmy Fallon was playing it, and he was sucking, basically. But if you want to go watch Jimmy Fallon suck, then go look it up.
But hey, this is my plug for the forums. The show gets like a lot of listens, but you know the forums aren't as active as they used to be, and it'd be really cool if we get more people out in the forums because they're pretty fun. And you meet a lot of cool people, like, and you know, you get the opportunity to be on the show.
Talk to
and
me.
Stuff like that.
Talk to Ian.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Talk to who else is on there?
Church.
Hello.
PK.
Yeah.
Okay, PK.
PK's a cool guy.
Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you pay attention to Monday Night Matchmaking, which we're still doing every Monday night. Check out the website, check out the forums, check out our YouTube, youtube.com/podtactv, or you can do podtactv.com/YouTube.
Monday Night Matchmaking.
I just said Monday Night Matchmaking.
Sorry, I'm just like freaking out here. 8:30 p.m. on Mondays Eastern Time.
Yes. And we'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Yeah.
Yay.